This is Shabbat 2. Last week was Shabbat 1. And just very briefly, we spent time really talking about the philosophy of Shabbat. We talked about time over space. A lot of you guys did a great job answering the questions. I gave you a little more leeway with the question this week about... And by the way, if you missed your homework question, you didn't do it, but you can... I'll take it whenever you send it to me. Okay? It's not like... I mean, it'll be better if you send it to me before class starts. But if you didn't, then do last week's tonight. It takes a few minutes. It's really helpful in trying to... Because this year will go, and you'll be like, what happened? What did I learn? That's why I'm telling you, you want to try to take some notes, jot some things down, and do your homework. Really, really makes a difference. How many of you guys were able to read a little of the book? Very good. A couple people. If you haven't, if you have the book, please, 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 To Be a Jew by Herbert Donnan. And it is in your library as a fellow. Start reading the chapter on Shabbat. So last week we talked about thinginess, that we get attached to things and space, and we sacrifice time for space, where in Judaism we're supposed to really put it all up for time. We talked about how time is sanctified by God and space by Moses, the tabernacle, as opposed to Shabbat, and a couple of different reasons as to why we observe Shabbat. Take a look on page 2 now. I want to jump into something new. And I want to start talking about the positive aspects of Shabbat. Now, when I say the positive aspects of Shabbat, I touched on this last week. What am I contrasting the positive aspects of Shabbat to? Everything about Shabbat is positive. But when I say the positive aspects of Shabbat, I mean in contradistinction to?
Negative.
Which is what?
Don't do.
All the don'ts. That you can't do this, you can't move that, you can't drive in a car, blah, blah, blah. We're going to come to that after Hanukkah. But I want to do is try to get through some of the beautiful and positive things of Shabbat. Like everything else, and Shabbat is a great example, there's a biblical component and there's a rabbinic component. Now, going back to from Sinai to Manhattan, I'm going to jog your memories. When I say something is biblical, does that mean it must have a verse somewhere in the Bible? It's that plus what else? What's that? There's an oral tradition that what? That explains some kind of verse, or else it wouldn't be considered biblical. But it might not be explicit in the verse, but the rabbis are interpreting the verse using the 13 hermeneutical principles, or a tradition passed down from generation to generation called the oral Torah. What's a rabbinic law?
The rabbis made it up.
Now, the rabbis make up laws for two reasons. Either to enhance or to
protect.
Good. What were you going to say?
To give us headaches.
No, they don't. They actually protect or enhance. We're going to go through some rabbinic and biblical laws that are of the positive aspects of Shabbat, the things we do on Shabbat. And for that, we're going to return to the great Maimonides. Take a look on page 2 on the bottom. There are 4 dimensions to the observance of the Sabbath. This is the great Rambam we're reading from now. 2 originating in the Torah and 2 originating in the words of our sages, which are given exposition by the prophets. So 2 from the Torah and 2 from the sages. The sages, right, when we say something's rabbinic, it's not like Mark Wilde's, because I happen to be a rabbi, so now it's rabbinic. No. Who are the rabbis?
Great.
Who were the greats? Who are they? The members of the?
Sanhedrin.
And there was a Sanhedrin in every generation from the time of Moses until the second temple was destroyed. And those rabbis were authorized by the Torah itself to enact laws, to either safeguard the Torah or to fill it in, if you will. Okay? I mean, I'll give you an example. I was just talking to a couple that I'm marrying. And I told them that they need a ketubah. Whose idea was the ketubah? Because what marries a couple? We talked about this.
Giving something of value.
Giving the bride something of value. He has to give it, she has to receive it, has to be witnessed. That's what marries them. So what's the ketubah for? A lot of people think we're getting married through the ketubah. No, you're not. It's really a prenup, if you think about it. In the event of divorce or death of the husband, she can cash in the ketubah for money. That's all it is. That's why when... It's like everything's a business, but like people spend a lot of money on these very beautiful ketubas. If actually anyone knew what was written in them, you would see it's the least romantic document. There's one little line in there where it says that the man will give even the shirt off of his back to her. Everything else is money. Because husbands are supposed to take care of their wives. And the rabbis saw that in the Torah itself, the Bible itself, requires a man to give his wife a get if he wants to divorce her, but does not demand any financial remuneration. And the rabbis felt that the women would be in a very difficult situation, particularly in ancient times, where women went from their father's homes to their husband's homes, and were not in the working force, were not educated. How would they earn a living? They might have many children. And the husband, according to the Torah, doesn't have to provide anything, so the rabbis filled it in, and that's called the ketubah. To this day, the ketubah is worth anywhere between $10,000 and a year's salary, depending on the rabbi. And in Israel, they're very straight about it. They write the different amounts of shkolim that the husband has to give his wife in the event of death or divorce. And it's still in play today, but it's rabbinic. It's not biblical. Okay? But that's an example. The rabbis filled in something. Okay? So now, there are four dimensions to observance of the Sabbath, two in the Torah and two from the sages. It says here, exposition by the prophets. It's kind of like a hint in the prophets. Those of you who know, also the prophets. When does the prophets start? You have the five books of Moses. What are the five books of Moses? Bereshit, Genesis, Shemot, Exodus, Leviticus, Vayikra, Bamidbar, Numbers, Devarim, Deuteronomy. What comes after the five books of Moses? The prophets. But we don't really learn halakha from verses in the prophets. We only learn really halakha from verses in the five books. We learn lessons from the prophets. And sometimes there'll be words and phrases and verses in the prophets that the sages, when they come up with something, will say, that's a source for what I'm suggesting here. And that's what the Mamba means when he says here that two originating in the words of the sages given exposition by the prophets. What are the two dimensions of the Torah? Zachor and Shamor. Remember and observe. Those are biblical. Those are verses in the Torah. I'll tell you the verse. Zachor et yom ha-shabbat l'kadsho. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Zachor et yom ha-shabbat l'kadsho. And then Shamor et yom ha-shabbat l'kadsho. Guard the Sabbath. Which sounds like which? Which sounds positive? Which sounds negative?
We wrote it.
Okay, then just tell me.
Remember
refers to the positive. Okay? And guard refers to the negative. So, what was the negative? These are biblical now. Both of these are biblical verses. So who can give me examples? What are we talking about? What are things we do on Shabbat to remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy, biblically? What's that? Kiddush. Good. What else?
Wash our hands.
Yes, that's rabbinic. But good try. Candle lighting, rabbinic. You'll see how much, by the way, of Judaism is rabbinic. It's huge. There's really only one biblical. The way you start Shabbos and the way you end Shabbat. Kiddush and Havdalah. Okay? Biblical, what about negative? We were said to it before you mentioned it. Right, don't perform the acts of work, the 39 acts of work. We'll come back to that in a few weeks. Okay? Now, those are biblical. What about rabbinic? What's the source for the rabbinic? Take a look. The two dimensions given exposition by the prophets are honor and pleasure, kavod and oneg. So those are the four words I want you guys to know tonight. The first are two biblical, zachor. I would write this down, guys. Zachor and shamor. Zachor means to remember. Shamor means to guard. Guard like implies you're guarding something from it being violated. Right? So that's the negative. Zachor is the positive. And then you have the two rabbinic, which is kavod. What's kavod? Respect, honor, and oneg. Has anyone ever been invited to an Oneg Shabbos? What happens at an Oneg Shabbos?
It's a party.
It's a party. It's a chayim. You're hanging out. It means delight. Joy. And we're going to define those four terms tonight. Well, we already did.
We got Zachor. We got Kavod.
No, keep the biblical and the rabbinic separate. The biblical are Zachor and Shamor.
Shamor.
Zachor is the positive. Shamor is the negative. The rabbinic are?
Kavod
and Oneg. Okay, we're going to focus, let's start with the rabbinic. Okay, Kavod. Turn to page 3, please. So the Rambam asked the question, Kavod, Ezo Kavod, what is Kavod? Zer Shamru Chachamim, our sages taught, Shemitzvah al Adam l'chutz panav v'adav, we'll read in the English, the sages taught that it is a mitzvah for a person to wash his hands and his face and his feet in hot water on Friday in honor of the Sabbath. What is this talking about? Take a shower, okay, before Shabbos. Listen, people didn't have running water in those days. It was a big deal. You had to go schlep the water, heat it up a little so you don't freeze your petunias off, and you got to wash yourself up. Wrap yourself in tzitzit and sit with proper respect, waiting to receive the Sabbath as one goes out to greet a king. This is, by the way, the next line is the source for the Kabbalat Friday night Shabbat service that we always sing. The sages of the former generations would gather their students together on Friday, wrap themselves in fine robes, and say, come, let us go and greet the Sabbath. Why is this Kavod Shabbos, showing honor? And look what else we do for Kavod Shabbos. So number one, we wash our hands, our face, our feet. We wear different clothing. When do you do these things?
Before
Shabbos. Very good. Kavod Shabbos is stuff that you do before Shabbos. How is that showing honor? It's not even Shabbos yet.
Because you're being prepared.
And how is that demonstrating honor? Good.
You're respecting Shabbat and everybody.
Yeah.
You're anticipating
your yearning. Rabbi Soloveitchik once said that he felt he was successful at helping to transport Shabbat from Europe. He was from Poland to the United States. But he was unsuccessful at transporting Erev Shabbos to the United States. Erev Shabbos is the whole yearning and anticipating, and people sort of getting ready. In Israel, they have this a little. Because, you know, Israel, as much as it's not a religiously run society, is off on Fridays. They work on Sunday. We're off on Sunday, we work on Friday. Harder to feel an anticipation when you're running, especially these days when Shabbos comes in so early. How many of us can get home in enough time? And one little trick I will tell you, because I learned this from one of my rabbis, he sets this table Friday, Thursday night. I once was over there Thursday night, and I was like, who's coming for dinner tonight? No, this is for Shabbos. I said, it's Thursday night. What are you getting ready for Friday? He goes, I have no time tomorrow. I'm doing it now. So just think about this. If you had an honored guest and you were inviting your honored guest to your home for dinner at 7 p.m. and your honored guest shows up at 7 p.m. and you invite them and you tell them how excited you are to see them. And then you say to them, just give me a few minutes. I need to cook you something. And I got to get out of this ripped pair of jeans and t-shirt and put on something nice because I look disgusting. That would be... Now, we would call that like a diss. If that was like an official, you know, diplomat, you know, that could be like an international incident. Kept the president waiting while he went into the kitchen and cooked. Right, so this is the idea of Kavod Shabbat, that you're doing these things in advance, and it shows anticipation and yearning, but it also demonstrates respect, because once Shabbos comes, you know, and I said this to my daughter last week, we were setting our Friday night Shabbat table together, and she said, Abba, we have so much time after shul, because Shabbos starts like 4:30. She's like, you know, you can be done with dinner at 6, you know, and have like, I don't know, a lot of chill time Friday nights these days. Let's just set the table later. And I was explaining, we were talking about this. You had a question.
Yeah, why does the idea of paragraph 2 talk about the king, Shabbat, meet the Sabbath, the king? I know when we sing the Chado D, it talks about the bride.
Good. So the Shabbos is personified in religious poetry as either royalty, a king, or a queen. Friday night is the queen, Shabbat day is the king. The Friday night is always the queen, Shabbat HaMalka, because in Kabbalah, the Shechina, God's presence is sort of the female aspect of God's existence, like our way of understanding God, the feminine aspect, and that's more Friday night. And that is the queen or the king, but the concept of royalty, of majesty, Shabbat. Or joy. which is really the bride and groom. Because no one is more joyous than a bride and groom. And it kind of lines up nicely with kavod versus oneg. Kavod is the respect, the things you do before Shabbos starts. Oneg is the delight you have on Shabbos itself. And these are both rabbinic categories. But they really give you the feel and the flavor of what Shabbos is. Okay? And I haven't said anything biblical yet, which is interesting. Take a look. Among the ways of honoring the Sabbath is wearing a clean garment. One's Sabbath garment should not resemble one's weekday clothes. A person who does not have enough, a different garment for Shabbat, let's say you don't have the money, should allow his robe to hang low, so that his Sabbath clothing will not resemble the clothes he wears. I mean, you just literally take the same thing and pull it down. Because what you're demonstrating is you're showing that it's different. Today is different. Rav Soloveitchik also spoke about this, a water carrier, literally from the neighborhood he grew up in Poland. And his name was Young. He was literally, that's what he did. He schlepped water for people. And he said, this man on Shabbos, he said he was so poor, he had more holes in his clothing than he had material. And he says, but on Shabbos, he looked like a king. When he would sit at his Shabbos table, he looked like royalty. Because Shabbos is just, it doesn't matter what was going on all week. It doesn't matter what's going on in your life. It doesn't matter how rich or poor you are. Shabbos, the Jewish people turn into kings and queens. And that all starts before Shabbat, but obviously continues into Shabbat. In respect for the Sabbath, look at the last paragraph. It's forbidden to plan a meal or a wine fest for Friday. One may not eat. One may eat or drink until nightfall. Nevertheless, an expression of honor for the Shabbos, a person should refrain from planning a meal for mid-afternoon on so that he will enter the Shabbos with an appetite. You shouldn't eat too much Friday afternoon, because what happens if you eat too much Friday afternoon? It's not saying you have to fast. You don't have to fast. You can eat. Just don't eat too much lavish of a meal, because you want to... Anybody know we have a similar mitzvah for another holiday like that? Having to do with like flat bread kind of stuff that we eat on a holiday called Passover. You're not supposed to eat matzah the day before Passover. So that the night of Passover, you eat it what's called b'teavon. You eat it with a hearty appetite. Some people don't eat matzah for the whole month of Nisan, and there's some people accustomed, I can't do this because I eat matzah all year round. I love matzah. There's nothing like matzah all year round.
Talk about matzah, Brian.
It's the best thing in the world. So there's some people who won't eat matzah all year round because they want to have like that awesome experience the night of Passover. But again, it's like you're thinking about Shabbos already on Friday by tweaking your diet a little on Friday. Let's do a little more. Turn the page, please. Person should prepare his table on Friday, page 4, even if it's to partake only of an amount of food equivalent to the size of an olive. Similarly, a person should prepare his table on Saturday night, even if to partake only of an amount of food. Right. So you should prepare one's house while it's still day as an expression of respect. Right. The place is a mess. Don't wait for Shabbos. Oh, you have all this free time on Shabbos. I'll clean up on Shabbos. No, you're cleaning for Shabbos. Because the king and the queen are entering. Should be a lamp burning, a table prepared with food to eat, a couch bedecked with spreads. All of these are expressions of the honor we give to the Sabbath. Look at number 6. Even a very important person who is unaccustomed to buying items at the marketplace or doing housework is required to perform tasks to prepare by himself for the Sabbath. And that's why you'll find often in Yerushalayim, you'll find very great rabbis shopping on Erev Shabbos. In the market, buying their wives flowers, or buying food, or doing something like mundane, in honor of Shabbat. The Talmud says that this rabbi would light the Shabbat candles for his wife and blow it out, so that the wick would be more easily receptive to her lighting. I mean, it sounds ridiculous, but they just wanted to futz around a little in the house to show that they were preparing. I guess, you know, she doesn't want to let him in the kitchen, I guess. There was one who would cook, there was one who would salt the meat, one who would braid the wicks. Braid the wicks. You ever do that? Why don't you try that on a Friday? Braid some wicks. And the one who would kindle the lamps, others would go out and purchase food and beverages, even though this was not their ordinary practice. The more one involves himself in such activities, the more praiseworthy it is. I happen to think that that's a very important thing anyway. I think if every person of power, fame, and fortune shopped and did menial things, besides it being very therapeutic, shining your own shoes. It humbles and reminds us of just that we're just, everybody is just a person. I think that's a very important exercise in general, but here we're doing it L'Kavod Shabbos. Now, all of those things you're doing in advance. What about on Shabbos? What is that called? On Shabbat, we call it not Kavod Shabbat, but Oneg Shabbat. What's Oneg mean? Oneg is just rejoicing, enjoying, actually enjoying. What are the things we do to enjoy Shabbos? We eat. How many times do we eat? How many meals? We eat three meals on Shabbat. There is such a tradition. And for some of us, it's very challenging when your lunch finishes at 4. And the only way you can eat a third meal is by starting your third meal like 10 minutes later. So you can get away, by the way. You're supposed to try to have like two loaves of bread, even some wine if you can. But if you just like feel like you're going to turn into a blimp, or you're just disgusted with yourself at this point, you can just like have some fruit, and that can suffice. The levels are bread, mezonot, like some cookies, some grain, or some fruit. You do the best you can. Take a look on the bottom. What is meant by Sabbath delight? This refers to our sage's statement. A person must prepare a particularly sumptuous dish and a pleasantly flavored beverage. Pleasantly flavored beverages at your home. All of this must be done within the context of a person's financial status. Like, don't break the piggy bank, but spend a couple of bucks. The more one spends, both financially and expenses undertaken for the Sabbath and an effort in the preparation of the many good foods, the more praiseworthy it is. If, however, it's not within one's financial capacity, even if one merely stews food in honor of the Shabbat, this is considered a Shabbat delight. Let's turn the page. It says here, one is not obligated to strain oneself or to borrow from others in order to prepare more food for Shabbat. The sages of the Talmud said that make your Sabbath as weekdays, but not depend on others. Right? Don't put yourself into the poorhouse. So if you're not doing so well, you're out of work, you know, don't invite 20 friends over and start spending a crazy amount of money, but you're supposed to try to use the best that you have. So if you have a nicer set of dishes, you have a nicer this, you try to really do it up in honor of Shabbos. Person who's indulgent and wealthy and conducts all of his days as Sabbaths. But what happens if you live like that all week? What happens if your Tuesday night is like one of those dinners with a long table and you ring the bell and your three servants come and they come and serve you? And that's the way you eat every night of the week. There are people like this. So what do they do on Shabbos? Gefilte fish. No, I don't know. What do they do on Shabbos? They must also partake of different foods on the Sabbath from those which he partakes during the week. You've got to change it up. If you wear a suit and tie every day of the week, and you want to dress up for Shabbat, have a nicer suit or tie. Okay? I'm not saying you have to wear a suit and tie on Shabbat. But it should be something that you think is dignified, that is nice, that is something that's special. And it helps, by the way. You know that psychologically, and I've told this to a lot of people, you know, sometimes if you're not so excited about going on, like a date, you're not so pumped, you know, shower. It's always a good thing in general. Put on some nice clothing and puff yourself up a little, because the way you look on the external often it affects ourselves internally. Achareha pulot, the rabbis teach in Nishacha Levavot, after one's behavior, after one's external actions, follows the heart. We often think, I can only do something on the outside when I'm feeling something on the inside. Judaism is much more behavioral than that. We very much believe that you can help develop yourself internally by the way you behave externally. So, you see a little lady crossing the street and you don't feel particularly generous and you feel like a miserably selfish, self-absorbed individual. One way of actually getting yourself out of that is just to force yourself to help the little old lady across the street. Just do it anyway. Just do it. It's a great motto. I don't know. We didn't come up with that, though. All right. A person who's obligated to eat three meals, one in the evening, one in the morning, one in the afternoon, one should be extremely careful with these three meals, not to eat any less. Even a poor man who derives his livelihood from charity should try to eat the three meals on Shabbat. For a person who is sick from overeating, or one who fasts constantly, is not obligated to partake of these three meals, though. And at each meal, what constitutes a meal, technically? The two loaves of bread, which we'll come to that as well.
Wait a second, I thought it was the size of the amount of an olive.
What's that?
What could constitute a meal?
Well, that's right. In other words, that's a certain amount of what you. That's the amount of what you eat. I'm saying, what do you eat, though? what you eat is, we're supposed to try to have bread on Shabbat. Okay, let's turn the page. I'm going to just take you very briefly, because we've got to finish up soon, through a quick Shabbat, because we've done some of this already. I put this together many years ago. You can read this on your own. These are the basically 12 steps to keeping Shabbos. It's a 12-step program.
It's like the best of.
It's the best of. So first of all, we already discussed preparations before Shabbat. And then we're going to talk about lighting the candles. I'm going to come back to that in a minute. I want to spend a few minutes on lighting the candles. And then after we light the candles, there are Friday evening services, of course. MGE has awesome Friday evening services with Rabbi Shuki. Fourth is we have a beautiful meal, and during the meal we sing the Shalom Aleichem. Shalom Aleichem. We also sing the Eishes Chayil. What's the Eishes Chayil? What is it? Who wrote that? A man who loves his wife.
Somebody told me that, was it Avram's like eulogy at Sarah's funeral or something?
It's a nice thought, but there's no relationship to the truth. It should say it in your book. It's from Proverbs. Who wrote Proverbs?
Oh, right.
Solomon. King Solomon wrote Proverbs, and he was actually writing about his mother. But it's been adapted by husbands to their wives, because it's really speaking about the righteous woman who is everything but lazy. You should read it in English. It's a gorgeous, gorgeous poem about righteous women and how they are not skin deep in terms of their beauty and what they accomplish and what they do. That's called the Eishes Chayil. It really was written by Solomon using the mother, son, but now it's been adapted to husband and wife in terms of the love relationship between God and the Jewish people. Then there's a custom to bless one's children. You know, let me run through this quickly. So we prepared for Shabbos. We already did that. We light the Shabbos candles. Anybody know, if we don't finish this now, we'll pick this up next time. Why do we light Shabbos candles?
Isn't it to separate from the weekday?
Good. It actually brings in Shabbat. It actually is what starts Shabbos. But the Talmud says that there are two reasons. Number one, kavod. Now, actually, is it kavod Shabbos or oneg Shabbos? Think. Kavod is the stuff you do before. Candle lighting is done before Shabbos. You can't do it on Shabbos because that's breaking Shabbat. And yet, what's that? It's kavod Shabbos, but it's also, is it also oneg?
I think it's both.
It's both.
It's basically a transformation, but at the same time, it's also the beginning of Shabbat.
Right, because what's the point of it? Take a look. No, number two reasons. Number one, we're trying to create what's called Shalom Bayis. Now, what is Shalom Bayis? Many of you have heard that term, keep peace in the home. But here it's being used in a very technical sense. A dark, gloomy home is not a Shabbos home. Your home must have light. And therefore, we create light for the home for Shabbat. And therefore, it's really both. It's done before Shabbos starts, but it's really for the sake of Shabbos. Your candles need to be lit while Shabbos is happening. If they were to blow out right before Shabbat, you wouldn't really have fulfilled the mitzvah. You're supposed to create light in your home. Now you're asking yourself a very simple question, but you're embarrassed to ask because you think it's too simple. And that is?
Can a man light the Shabbos candles?
Before the man comes in. No, it's a good, well, I'll get
in.
What's that? No, I just said it's to illuminate your home.
So what happens when the candles
blow? Yeah, the candles blow out, and do we really illuminate our homes with candles anymore? Does anyone illuminate their homes with candles anymore? No. It's a fire hazard. That's all it is. So, right? So what is it's in the days of the Talmud when the rabbis ordained, before this even, it was literally to physically illuminate their home, which is why I'm going to make a very important suggestion. It's not mine, it's from Moshe Feinstein's. He said, before you light your Shabbat candle, turn off a light in your home, a regular light, like a bulb, you know, a light switch. That turn it off and put it on for the sake of Shabbat. Any light that you will keep on for the 24 hours of Shabbos, whether it's in a bathroom, it's in the dining room, it's in the bedroom, wherever you're okay with this light being on, turn it off, turn it on for the sake of Shabbos, then light your candle. And when you light your candle, keep in mind not only the candle but that light, because this is not a purely symbolic mitzvah. It's not just like the Sabbath has entered, there are the lovely Shabbat candles in the corner producing zero illumination, because this is what makes my house light. today. No. What you should be doing is fusing that with what actually creates light in your home. Because the mitzvah is covered shout is shalom bayis. And shalom bayis, the Talmud says, so that people don't bump into each other, so nobody gets hurt. It's literally to provide illumination for your home. So I don't know how many of you have heard of this, maybe you've never heard of this before, but it would be a new suggestion I would encourage you to do, which is before you light the Shabbat candles, let's go through it, take a look at the procedure on the bottom. We do this 18 minutes before sunset, and if you didn't do it, as long as you did it within the 18 minutes, you're okay. Turn off the electric lights in your room, where candles will be lit. Turn them back on for the sake of Shabbat. Light the candle. Immediately following the lighting, place your hands over your eyes. Remove your hands from your eyes and recite the following blessing. Let's do it together. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam asher kedushanu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu lahadlik ner shel Shabbat. What's the whole idea with the eyes? I'm going to give you not a Kabbalistic deep answer, a very technical reason why we cover our eyes before we light it first. Then, wait, how does it work? What did I say? Turn off the electric lights in the room, turn them back on for the sake, light the candle, immediately following the lights, put your hands, make the bracha, and then look at the candle. Why do you do that? Think about that. You light it, right? You light it, put your hands, right? Make the blessing. You're playing peekaboo with the candles.
I think
it was dark in the room.
What's that?
It was dark when your eyes were closed and then illuminated.
Yeah, you're thinking too spiritual. Think more technical. Be technical with me.
It's like the first time you saw it.
Too inspirational. Give me something technical. Yes.
Is it because when we do blessings, we usually say it before we
thank you.
And if you say the blessing first, then you light it.
You've already brought in Shabbos. And then you're lighting the candle. So how does this get you out of it? Because what's the mitzvah here? Is the mitzvah in the lighting or in the benefit from the light? You know the answer to that. It's from the benefit of the light, which is why you cover your eyes. You haven't benefited from the light. As long as you haven't benefited from the light, you haven't fulfilled the mitzvah yet. And therefore, you can still make the blessing beforehand, because blessings always come before mitzvah. Because why did the rabbis ordain blessings to begin with? To help you focus when you do the mitzvah, that you're not just wrapping leather on your arm. If you're putting on tefillin, you're making the blessing so that when I wrap the leather on my arm, I'm doing this for the sake of the mitzvah of connecting with Hashem. When I'm lighting the candle, I'm not just lighting the little ambience. It's for Shabbos. So you want to do that before. If you're going to do that before, you're going to have this problem of starting Shabbos, right? It's already going to be Shabbos now, and then you're lighting a candle when it's Shabbos. So what you do is you cover your eyes. And because the mitzvah is in the benefit that you derive, as opposed to what other candles will you be lighting in less than 2 weeks? Hanukkah candles, which we'll talk about next week, the mitzvah really is not in the benefit. In fact, the song that a lot of people sing afterwards, Hanera Talalu, says, Ela Lerotim Bilvad, you're not allowed to have benefit from the Hanukkah menorah, from the candles illuminated. You put it in the windowsill, it's purely symbolic. It's not there to illuminate your home. The Shabbos candles are there to illuminate your home, which is why you should try this electric thing that I'm suggesting. Okay? That's what really makes our home lit. Yes?
Can you talk a little bit about the tefillah that you could say after you light the candle?
So there's a very beautiful, and a number of different prayers that have been developed over the years. I'm just giving you brass tacks. You don't have to say it. I think you should. It's a beautiful prayer. Yeah, maybe if you want to bring it in.
Yeah, I have an English.
So do me a favor. Bring it in, I'll make copies, okay. Or send it, email, send it to me and I'll make copies. It's a very, very beautiful tefillah. It's a very auspicious moment to ask for things. If you can get a few moments with Hashem before the craziness starts, Shabbos. Now, you had a question about men.
No, it wasn't a question. Didn't.
Well, who's this mitzvah for?
The house.
The mitzvah's for the house. You need to provide your home, Dylan, with some light.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
That's the mitzvah. Now, so why is it if there's a man and a woman in the home, it goes to the woman? Because the woman is considered the akarat habayit. She's considered, she runs the home. The home is the purview of the woman in Judaism. It is. It was Sarah, it's always. And that's just the way it is. So therefore, if there's a choice between a man and a woman, it goes to the woman. If there's no woman, the home still needs lit. And a lot of people think it's just a women's mitzvah. It's really not. It's a mitzvah pertaining to the home. If you go away for Shabbat, you go to someone else's home, you don't necessarily have to light your own candle. You can be mitzaref, which means you can join in the mitzvah with someone. As long as in the home in which you are, someone is lighting candles, and you ask them to keep you in mind, that's perfectly fine. Okay, any other questions about Shabbat candles? Candle lighting, yes?
So, women are supposed to, or obligated to do time-bound mitzvah? That's a time-bound mitzvah.
Women are exempt from time-bound mitzvah. We're talking about biblical mitzvah. This is rabbinic.
So therefore,
no, so it doesn't apply. The only mitzvah that women are exempt from are positive, biblical, time-bound mitzvah. This is a time-related mitzvah, clearly. It's a good point. But it's rabbinic, not biblical. Good question.
Lighting candles said is rabbinic, but the fact that it's 18 minutes, what Hashem says, because that's...
The rabbis just did that so you wouldn't get tripped up and light the candles after Shabbos starts. You can light a second, you know, as long as you light before sunset. And if you missed it, you missed it. You know, like, it's more important not to... There is the thing, we're going to have a class on non-Jewish help on Shabbos. Can you ask someone to light your Shabbos candles for you if you missed it? You can for the first 30 minutes, actually. What's called Bein Hashmashos, twilight, because it's for the sake of Shabbos, and it's permissible to ask a non-Jew to do something for you for the sake of Shabbos within the twilight period. Because twilight is there's a debate. You know what I mean by twilight. You know, do 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 do. You know that kind of twilight. Does it belong to the day before or the next day? Is a big debate. So that exactly that is the twilight zone, and therefore, you could rely on non-Jewish help during that period of time if you missed your... you shouldn't rely on that, and I don't recommend it. But if you're stuck in that situation, you can have somebody afterwards. You can't have anybody do it for you afterwards, just during that little short period of time. After you light your candles, since Shuki just walked in, you should immediately come to the Manhattan Jewish Experience to FNL and just remain here indefinitely every Friday night.
So you'll be sitting here for 2 hours in the dark?
So those of you who are, that's actually an interesting conversation for us to have at some point. We started FNL for individuals that were not necessarily in full observance of Shabbat, so maybe still working and not doing this candle lighting thing early on and just coming right from work. But if you are starting Shabbat on time, then you would probably be attending an earlier prayer service. You know, we do everything at MG a little weird. That's just who we are.
It's better.
Well, it depends who you are and what the needs of the community are. We are here to serve certain needs. Okay, last thing. There's a very beautiful... you come home and you eat your meal. The meal is very, very important. And I'm going to finish with this because I'm taking up too much time. I'm going to stop with a Friday evening meal. The next time we meet for Shabbat, next week we're doing Hanukkah. And then the following week... you'll get notifications just because we're getting into Christmas. I think the following week.
25th off, first on.
Yeah. But we'll figure out. The following Wednesday. But
you're doing Shabbos.
What's that?
You're teaching Shabbos for.
Yeah, I'll be teaching Shabbos for the next couple of weeks. But we'll end here. Any other questions about anything I've said so far? What's that? Please, just loudly, so everyone can hear. You have a large home.
Are you technically supposed to light the candles in a room that is dark that lights will not be
good,
on?
Very good question. You should try to light the candles where you're going to get benefit from them. So don't light them in a room you won't ever enter. And try to light them in a room, because you know the candles will last for 2-3 hours. So you got to ask yourself, where will I be to be able to somehow have benefit from the light? That's what you should try to do. There is technically part of this mitzvah, our sages teach, is that there should be some light in every room in your home. It doesn't have to be direct light. Let's say your bedroom you want to keep dark so you can go to sleep, but there should be a light, let's say, in the hallway that's on, or in the bathroom or something, so it's not pitch black in your apartment. Because that's technically, if you study the source, from how the rabbis devised this mitzvah, is to illuminate your home on Shabbat. So, because a dark and dreary home where people are tripping over things is not a Shabbos kind of home. But you want to pick a spot that... Now, a lot of people have this question. What happens if you're invited out Friday night? So what do you do? What are your options?
Ask somebody to light the candles for you.
That doesn't help, though. Why doesn't that help, Boris? Tell me.
Because,
it's a good suggestion.
Because
they'll light the candles, and there's no one there to enjoy them, and all you just did was take...
cover your eyes in order to enjoy the aftermath, so I guess you're not...
So the only thing you could do is that if you know by the time you get back home, your candles will be out, because you're going out with your friends, a little Shabbos soiree. And then you come back, and then the candles are out, so you want to sit with the candles for a few moments before you leave and get some benefit from them. If you know by the time you come back they'll still be on, then you don't have to do that. But if you know that they won't, that's preferable. What you could do is you could get to your friend's home early and light your Shabbat candles there too. But it's preferable to light the Shabbat candles where you sleep. But there are opinions that say you can light the candles where you eat. So you could probably, if you can get to the home before Shabbat, you can light there. So those are your three options.
Preferable to light them in your bedroom?
No.
You just said light the candles where you
sleep.
Meaning, as opposed to another home.
Okay.
Not like in the room where you sleep.
Okay.
You really pay attention, though.
I'm listening, Rabbi. You're like, I don't miss anything.
Any other? I saw another hand. Somebody was secretly trying to ask
me. It wasn't a question so much as an observation. Maybe something I learned from you was that, like, specifically Shabbos candles won't flicker. Whereas, like, other generic candles, you get, like, birthday candles will flicker, and it's because the on-off of a flicker would, quote, be malacha. So you'll notice that, like, Shabbos candles won't flicker on and
off. Yeah, there's no sparkling Shabbos candles.
Well, not sparkling.
What's flicker? I don't know what you... What
like,
flicker?
You'll get, like, birthday candles.
They flicker?
They'll flicker, yeah.
Really?
They'll flicker, like, it'll go...
Are they special flickering birthday candles, or they're just
Shabbos
in general?
Candles.
I know they're not Shabbos candles. But, you know, the little birthday candles.
Yeah, they sometimes will flicker. And Shabbos candles won't flicker.
And why is flickering an issue for you?
It's not. I just noticed it and someone brought it to my attention.
I don't know if it's an issue. Once you light the candle, whatever the flame likes to do, it does like to do backflips and flicker. What's that? Oh, is it keeps lighting it?
It doesn't expire.
Oh. Oh, I don't know.
Even if it's flickering, it's never going to lock.
Oh, maybe that's it. Yeah.
I don't know.
I just use Shabbos candles.
Okay?
Right. It's an inside joke.
I'll announce it. It's okay. If you can't light Shabbat candles in time before Shabbat starts, it's
right.
Best not to light them, right?
It is absolutely best not to light them.
Right.
One should not light them on Shabbat.
Can you still say the tefillah?
100%. You can still say that tefillah, 100%. Just not the blessing. What if you're in a hospital and they're not too keen on candles? So you can light the candle. You just turn on a light that's going to be on in your room or in the bathroom, and that will be your Shabbat candle. You just can't make the blessing. But blessings are not deal breakers. You're still fulfilling the mitzvah even if you don't say the blessing and even if you're not using a candle. It's about creating light. So if you're in a hospital, you have a friend in a hospital, and they want to light Shabbos candles, that's why in Mount Sinai, the chaplain comes around with like a little electric thing that you just turn on. That can suffice, actually. That can actually technically be your Shabbat candle.
But you can't say the blessing over that.
But you can't say the blessing over that. What you can do, you can make Havdalah over that, because the bracha you're making for Friday night, candles, is Lahadlik Ner Shel Shabbat, candle. Whereas Havdalah, you're saying... it's an ish, it's a fire. And most poskim hold that incandescent bulbs constitute a fire. So therefore, if you didn't have a flame, you could make the regular blessings over a regular candle, maybe not a fluorescent bulb, but a regular incandescent bulb, you could do the borei me'orei ha'esh that we do in Havdalah. Yes?
I was just wondering, is there any meaning to a rabbi or a kohen or anybody with the reading the Shabbat and also the Havdalah service, doing these mannerisms like this with hands?
So there is some Kabbalah about the nails, and I'm going to leave for Shuki to discuss.
Yeah, I talked to nails.
But there is the reason where, anybody know why, and Havdalah, and we'll get to Havdalah because we're still on Friday night. But Havdalah, we put our nails underneath the candle to do what? Why are we doing that technically? I want to get you guys just used to answering questions simply and not always so deep. Because you're saying, blessed are you, God, borei me'orei ha'esh, God who creates the fire. What are you doing? You're just getting benefit from the fire. You're demonstrating that now it's no longer Shabbat. Now I can create a flame and use that flame for productive purposes. Something which I was forbidden to do on the Sabbath. That's all. Now, why the nails? There's some interesting Kabbalah about Adam and nails and first man and some interesting stuff.
So you're not really supposed to do it for the initial, lighting of the
No,
spot.
No, not at all. You just have to. You just cover your eyes because of what we talked about before. Okay, good. I don't want to keep you guys much longer. I wish you all a happy Wednesday night and a good Shabbos. Please join us this Shabbat. It's an awesome parsha between Yaakov and Esav. We'll be talking about that FNL Friday night, Saturday morning, MGE, and we have a very special Kiddush celebrating Taryn's engagement and my wife's birthday, which is very, very exciting. She doesn't know, and she'll be very upset, so don't say anything. We're having a cake.
Wait,
I mean, she knows it's her birthday.